Like 40 miles of bad road, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that won't take no for an answer. He knows it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, guess where we are today? We're outside standing on the threshold of another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. It is so wonderful to be speaking to you again today. I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert, some say. One of the people who says that might be my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, who does all the announcing for our podcast episodes. I'm always happy to have him joining our little group of podcasters for his announcements. Anyway, I want to tell you that the reason we're here is so that you can maybe gain some Medicare knowledge. And one of the ways that you can do that is to buy and read my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. You can buy that at BarnesandNoble.com or at Amazon.com. And when you go to those places, you're going to find several different editions that I think will serve you well. They vary by price and makeup. Some of them you read, some you listen to, some are electronic in nature, and others are beautifully bound so as to become heritage keepsakes for you and your estate to pass down to your heirs and for eternal reference works by those who will follow us into the great beyond. But anyway, your understanding of the information within Medicare for the Lazy Man is going to help you immensely when you cross that threshold of Medicare. And once you have a clear understanding of how Medicare works and how you can best prepare for it, you can, if you wish, contact me by email, and you and I will establish a working relationship for a short period of time, and I will explain to you what you should probably get that's going to best protect you against health insurance bills. You will hopefully accept my recommendations as being rational. You will make that purchase, and then we'll never speak again. At least that's the experience I've had with my current clients. They're so well served by the products that I recommend for them that there's very little reason for them to seek customer service or to ask my opinion about things. So that's the nature of the beast. We meet, we like each other, we form a tight relationship, we accomplish the task, and then you wander off into the Medicare never land, and I wait for the next client to come along. That's the way it seems to work. Anyway, one person who comes along and never leaves is my friend and co-host, Randy Carson. Randy, how are things on your side of the screen today?
Great. How are you doing? You're looking particularly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Well, it's a beautiful, sunny, warm Arizona day, almost summertime, and I couldn't be happier that we're in the nice part of the year. So I am bushy-tailed because this is my favorite thing, living in Arizona and enjoying the warm weather.
There's a reason that I moved out here. And one of the big reasons is that I don't like clouds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like rain.
Okay.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Yeah.
I don't like any of that stuff. And generally speaking, we don't have any of that out here.
Generally speaking, we don't. Now, I have a new next-door neighbor. My old next-door neighbor was a guy that I couldn't get along with to save my soul. We had violently opposite political beliefs, and he was a person who enjoyed yanking people's chains. And so when my new next-door neighbor, who is a wonderful human being, bought the house, the old neighbor decided to torture him. And so he had him come over for hours at a time so that he could show him how things in the house worked. For instance, light switches. Well, you flip it up and the light comes on. You flip it down and the light goes off. This went on for, I think, something like a total of 14 hours over 3 days. And I told the uncle of this new neighbor of mine that he should tell the guy, don't put up with it. But he didn't do that. And so my new next door neighbor was tortured for about 14 hours. One of the things he was told was that here's this beautiful orchid. Be sure and water it on a very strict schedule that I'll leave you in writing. This is my old next door neighbor, a guy that I would love to have seen take up a new career as a boat anchor, at somebody's yacht. But he then left the strict instructions for my new neighbor, who is a younger guy, to take care of the orchid. And this thing is magnificent looking. And so for the first 4 or 5 months, he watered that thing religiously, right on schedule, the exact amount of water, the exact times that he was supposed to water it. And then he was bothered in the house by mosquitoes. And he finally figured out the mosquitoes were living where the orchid was. And he said, well, that's just crazy. I wonder why the guy who used to own my house didn't have mosquitoes, and he took care of this orchid meticulously. So my neighbor pulled the orchid up and was going to replant it put it in new soil or something like that, because the mosquitoes were getting to be problematic. And he realized something about the orchid. The orchid was made out of steel. And so it was never going to actually use any water. And the hatred for my former neighbor grew and grew and grew. And he said to me, did you know what that stupid bastard told me? And what did I do? He said, he's not a stupid bastard. I'm stupid. It never occurred to me to touch the damn thing. And so he has spent a lot of time.
God.
Taking
that
care
guy,
of it.
That guy, like, what? Category of human is that mean to somebody? I mean, come on, the guy, he was like a super jerk.
I extrapolated it into also being a jerk to his wife, because I'll bet you what he did was he brought that thing home and told his wife that he loved her so much that he had this beautiful orchid, and that she had to do all that maintenance of the orchid before the new neighbor bought the house. And she was probably convinced that he really loved her a lot and gave her that orchid because it was a token of his affection. I'm guessing that that's what happened. I don't know what transpired in their house, and I never want to know. I'm just so glad they're gone. It was
That guy must have been one of these super jerks that.
Oh, completely.
He's like a narcissistic asshole. Oh, excuse my French. Maximus.
we used to try to get along with him. Both he and his wife had their personality flaws, and it was wonderful to see them clash, because when they turned on normal people, they were just nasty, nasty people. And it was, and they even admitted that, because the new neighbor said, I was given some photographs of you and your wife. So I already knew what you looked like. And I said, well, how did you get photographs? He said, well, they left them on a counter, and they said I could have them, or I could throw them away, but they weren't going to take them. So it was pictures of our neighbors in the neighborhood here. And those people were just nasty.
So was this guy taking these pictures surreptitiously, or,
No, we'd be at a party. I told you we spent a couple of years trying to get along with him. So if we went to a function like a Cave Creek Art Festival or something like that, occasionally one of them would take a picture, or we would take a picture of them. And it was we have a very nice backyard with a fountain and a fire pit and all this stuff. And so we have neighbors over periodically. And so you take pictures of all the people that attended your party once in a while. And it was that sort of thing. So there are pictures of us that were going to go right into, they could have been throwing darts at him for all I know. But it was just, it was so nice to get rid of those neighbors that I don't really care. I don't care what they did with them or how they had pictures. It was just nice to have them packing up and leaving.
Just thank God they're gone.
Absolutely. And our new neighbor is a wonderful guy. We like him very much. His uncle and aunt, who live, 20 miles from here, are owners of many, many old Corvettes, and they used to travel with us. I first met them on Route 66, and I probably took 10 or 12 trips in old Corvettes with them across the United States. So it was really neat to have their nephew buy the house next door. Yeah, it worked out very nicely.
Well, that's a great story. But you know something, Doug?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say, you know, as the nominal producer of this show, I'm going to encourage that we move on, because last week we kind of overstayed our 75 cents and we need to keep within budget.
Yes, I agree. As the person who has to fund the budget, I'm in 100% agreement. But also I'm excited to get going because, as I mentioned in the last episode, I've got a new administrative assistant who is curating all of the content that we get to address in our podcast episodes. So the first episode, the first content, piece of content she has curated for you, specifically for you, the listener, has to do with Parkinson's disease. This article says that a new test is a breakthrough in diagnosing Parkinson's disease. Now, I didn't know that was a problem because I don't know that much about Parkinson's. But according to Michael J. Fox, this is a big deal. And Michael J. Fox says, do you have Parkinson's? This new test is a breakthrough in diagnosing the disease. He says, I'm involved with the work of the Michael J. Fox Foundation in many ways, but he said, I come to this breakthrough first and foremost as a patient. So this week in New York City, 300 of the world's top neuroscientists are meeting to chart the future of Parkinson's disease research. They're the leaders of the Parkinson's Progression Markers Initiative, PPMI. This is a major international study designed to help cure Parkinson's disease faster. I don't know what date this article was published, but I believe it's fairly recent. So the article goes on to say that they come together every year from all points around the globe to share data, troubleshoot challenges, and map out the next steps in the research strategy. It has always been an action-packed couple of days, equal parts realistic, optimistic, and futuristic, even a pretty good time if you dig science. And this year, things are supercharged. The meeting's focus has been electrified by one of the most significant Parkinson's breakthrough in decades, announced by PPMI and the Michael J. Fox Foundation in just a few weeks ago. The discovery of a spinal fluid test. Oh, God, I was so excited until they said that. I don't think you can get spinal fluid out of a human body in a painless way. Anyway, this is a spinal fluid test that can objectively detect Parkinson's in the cells of living people. It's a first and a monumental leap forward for our disease. You're going to have a great life, Michael J. that's something that should have been curated right out of here. So the next, the article picks up here with new Parkinson's test will unlock the disease's secrets. The new test is remarkably accurate. This is especially rare in brain disease. It will allow scientists to unlock some of the Parkinson's deeply held secrets, like how early cellular dysfunction begins in brain and body cells, and what other aspects of biology are involved in risk onset and progression, and why Parkinson's symptoms and disease course are so notoriously different in different people. This will crack wide open our ability to develop next generation drugs that will benefit everyone living with the disease. That's a pretty tall order. What's more, we can detect the insidious biology unfolding well before any outward symptoms have shown up. Historically, symptoms have been the first discernible sign of the disease. And it's Michael J. Fox talking here. In my case, it was an innocent-seeming flutter in my right pinky finger. Not only will it be possible for the disease to be diagnosed and monitored early, but we are standing on the threshold of being able to prevent it altogether. Okay, so this is Michael J. Fox talking. He's involved with the Michael J. Fox Foundation, first and foremost, as a patient. His journey, which includes being diagnosed at age 29 with Parkinson's, is portrayed in Still, a Michael J. Fox movie, which will debut May 12th on Apple TV. I bet that's the most recent May 12th we just encountered. While I admire and marvel at the researchers leading the charge, the people I really can't stop thinking about are the study volunteers, the thousands of everyday people with and without Parkinson's disease who have stepped up on behalf of me and every other patient to be a part of PPMI. They have been coming since the foundation launched PPMI in 2010. By 2020, in partnership with the Aligning Science Across Parkinson's Initiative, we expanded PPMI to include at-risk individuals, people who had not been diagnosed with Parkinson's, but were living with early identified risk factors. The goal was to confirm that these risk factors were connected to Parkinson's onset. It is no exaggeration to say that we have entered a new era in Parkinson's research. We can start answering questions that have stumped scientists, doctors, and patients since James Parkinson first wrote about the disease in 1817. The foundation is moving at top speed to get new test info into immediate use in PPMI and other clinical trials recruiting today, as well as to help answer longstanding questions about Parkinson's onset, progression from diagnosis to advancing disease, wide variability of symptoms in different individuals, prognosis, and more. So, do you have Parkinson's symptoms newly diagnosed? Volunteers help to make this progress possible. But it's just as it has been all along, the single most important ingredient in our recipe for success will be the volunteers who step up to take part in studies, and we know just who we need. If you are about 60 or older and your sense of smell isn't what it used to be, not the brief loss associated with the COVID-19, but the serious smell loss that persists, or if you've been diagnosed with REM sleep behavior disorder, a condition that causes people to kick, punch, and yell in their sleep, you could be at increased risk of developing Parkinson's and part of PPMI. The same is true for those newly diagnosed with Parkinson's. You'll be helping us leverage this discovery to speed progress toward a cure for Parkinson's. It's as simple as visiting michaeljfox.org to get started. Because no matter how brilliant the scientists, how well-planned the research, and how many hundreds of millions of dollars we raise for PPMI, none of it can go anywhere without you. The visionary joiners sharing our optimism and agreeing to take part. Research volunteers are collectively contributing a tidal wave of time, energy, and belief in future, in a better future. This breakthrough belongs to everyone who's already taken part and to those who will be in the future. Taking part, but thanks to these activated participants, it's already transforming what's possible for us all. Well, it's obvious that that is written by somebody who's very excited about the possibilities held out by this spinal fluid test for Parkinson's disease. So good luck to them, I say, because the more of these things that we're able to defeat, the better quality of life we're all going to enjoy. Now we have an article, again, curated by my new assistant for curation of podcast content. This article is the five most important things to know about Medicare so that you don't overpay, according to an expert. And the expert is not me. This expert actually wrote this article or published it in February of 2023. So let's roar through this thing and see what he has to say. Medicare is one of the U.S. government's most popular programs, but it's also one of the most confusing. It's an alphabet soup of different programs with different rules. There's Medicare Part A for hospital and home care, Medicare Part B for doctor's bills and outpatient care, Medicare Part D as in dog for prescription drugs, and you also need to understand the difference between original or traditional Medicare and private insurers' Medicare Advantage plans, also known as Part C, and Randy knows why that's designated as Part C. It stands for crap. Yes, we're getting a big thumbs down from Randy, and I don't blame him. I'm right there with him. If you are confused, you're not alone. But Diane Omdahl, we hear from Diane periodically here at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Diane Omdahl is here to help. She just wrote the book, Medicare for You, A Smart Person's Guide. Oh, boy, I got to tell my content curator not to give me content that promotes other people's work. Anyway, about how to enroll in the program, find the right plans, avoid common mistakes, and get the best health care. Omdahl's founder and president of 60 Deansville, Wisconsin. Maybe I can plow through some of this faster without promoting her work that's in direct competition with my work. Okay, number one is develop a plan. One of the biggest problems is at age 65, people think they're all set and they don't take a look at their situation. You have to figure out what to do about Medicare and come up with a plan. I disagree with Diane here. What you have to do is talk to a Medicare expert like me, who is trustworthy, because I already have a plan that is the most beneficial for all Medicare participants. So Diane and I disagree on that. Then the second step is give yourself plenty of time. On December 15th, we heard from a woman who needed Medicare starting February 1st. I sent her the enrollment instructions. My book contains the enrollment instructions. If you're so inclined, you may buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, and it will tell you exactly how to enroll in Medicare online. So then she had an appointment set up with this woman on January 10th. I'll give you some good news about appointments with me. You don't have to even see me, have an appointment set up with me. You don't even have to talk to me if you don't want to. We can do everything with a few emails and some attached files. So anyway, we had an appointment set up on January 10th, and this potential client had not yet done the enrollment. And we got a call from her on January 31st. Because she's freaking out that she doesn't have Medicare. What can I do? In some areas of the country, it takes 4 to 6 weeks to get a Medicare application to the top of the heap. So that's the second thing. Give yourself plenty of time. I would say the second thing might be don't be a procrastinator. Third thing people need to know, make your own decisions. People think I'm just going to get what my husband got or what my best friend got, because it works for them. But you may not take the same meds. You may not see the same doctors. You may not have the same medical issues. You need to make your own plan. Or you need to talk to Doug Jones, who will help you make the plan that will work best for you. We worked with one couple, according to Diane, because of the drugs the husband takes, his best Medicare Part D plan cost $120 a month. His wife takes one generic drug, and she was going to get his plan to keep it simple. That would have cost her about $112 a month more than necessary. Couples don't have to choose the same plans. That's right. I've had couples where the husband is super healthy, so he goes on Medicare Advantage, and the wife has cancer, and she goes with original Medicare. So that's Diane talking about her experiences. Once again, these are things that I work out with my clients as well. What's number four on your list? Follow the rules. The Kaiser Family Foundation just put out a report saying that Medicare Advantage plans denied two million people were denied prior authorization requests during the year 2021. Some of that is about not understanding the rules. And Diane goes on to say, we had a woman contact us who had a knee replacement without prior authorization. Well, I got to tell you, the plans I encourage my clients to buy do not require any prior authorization, so this would never be a risk for one of my clients. But this woman was billed $62,000 because she did not pre-authorize the knee replacement operation that she had. Diane Omdahl said, if you read the fine print, the plan will not pay if you do not follow the rules, and the rules require prior authorization. So this woman had a Medicare Advantage plan, which I would advise against. She therefore failed to pre-authorize, which wouldn't be required under the Medicare supplement plans that I sell, and she wound up having to write a check for $62,000. I encourage my clients to relax when they deal with the recommendations that I offer, because they're not going to get caught in a difficult situation like that. So the article goes on, what is Diane Omdahl's number five recommendation? Don't put your Medicare plan on autopilot during open enrollment. And so the interpretation of that is, if you're already on Medicare, take the time to compare Medicare plans during open enrollment, because there may be something better than what you already have. And Diane Omdahl says that's correct. 2 years ago at the WellCare Health Insurer, they consolidated their WellCare, consolidated their six drug plans down to three. I remember when that happened. People enrolled in the three plans that were dropped were notified that they would be put into a certain plan automatically unless they made the change. Well, the plan they were being put into had a monthly premium of $68.90. Many of these people had been on the cheapest plan that cost $10 or $12. And this is what I had. I had to tell them, I'm not going to take your $68 plan. I'm going to the cheapest of the three remaining plans. And I wish I could have told everybody in the United States, because other companies have pulled this kind of a trick also in an effort to beef up their revenue from their drug plans. Many people did not look at the letter that they received, and then they were stuck for a whole year in the plan that cost them way more money than was absolutely necessary. The same goes with Medicare Advantage plans. The drugs they cover, the doctors, the pharmacy networks can change. Every once in a while, Randy and I talk about some place in Texas or Oklahoma covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield that is having to part company with a hospital chain or a chain of doctor's offices because of a contract dispute or because their contract has run out and they want to make more money elsewhere. So the medical providers in a Medicare Advantage plan can all of a sudden stop taking patients, and you are stuck finding a new doctor for the rest of the year until you can get to a new Medicare Advantage plan, or if you're healthy, to go on a Medicare supplement plan. So the next question being asked of Diane is, what should somebody who has never been in Medicare know and do before they enroll? And Diane's answer is, get a bigger mailbox and a recycling bin, because of all the mail you'll get about Medicare plans. We basically tell people just to trash it. And that's what I tell my clients too. Once you've decided what you want to do with Medicare, establish or update your financial and medical power of attorney, authorizing someone to make decisions for you if you're unable to, because you never know when something is going to happen. What should people know about making the choice between original Medicare and Medicare Advantage plans? Aha, we finally get to the meat of the article. In her book, she talks about original Medicare with a Medicare supplement being a pay now system and a Medicare Advantage plan being a pay later system. She's giving Medicare Advantage plans a little more credit than I would. But anyway, she goes on to say, you have these expensive Medicare supplement premiums costing around $250 a month. That is crazy. I would never expect my clients to pay that kind of money. But Diane's clients apparently are able to do that. I don't know. My recommendations typically cost much, much less than that, ladies and gentlemen. But Diane goes on to say, once you pay that, all you face is the Part B deductible, which this year is $226. Medicare Advantage plans may be zero premium, but then you face the plan's out-of-pocket limit. That could be $8,300. In the year 2023, $8,300 out of your pocket every year. If you take a $250 a month Medicare supplement, that's $3,000 a year? You're going to be saving money if you have medical problems. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan and you travel, people don't realize that the doctors where they're visiting have no obligation to see a patient who's in a network for which they don't have a contract. And the person writing the article goes on to say, you write that when you're shopping for Medicare coverage, don't focus on just the premiums. Can you talk about that a little bit? Diane says that's because there's a Medicare Part D plan in Seattle that costs $1.60 a month. I just provided one of those to a client of mine yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. $1.60 per month for a Aetna SilverScript Medicare drug plan in the state of Washington. Now, that's great if you take only tier one drugs, but they might not cover tier five drugs. Well, my answer to that is if you don't take a tier five drug, take the $1.60 plan, and you will be able to change in the future if your health demands that you take a different series of drugs. Going on with Diane Omdahl's article, what's the difference between the different tiers? The answer is Medicare now has six tiers. The sixth one is not common. Tier one is your cheap common generic. Tier two is your less preferred generic drug. Tier three is your preferred brand name drug. Tier four is your brand names that don't have generics available. And tier five is for specialty drugs. The writers note, tier 6 drugs include a small number of medications to treat high blood pressure, diabetes, and high cholesterol. This is kind of news to me, ladies and gentlemen, but if you follow my advice, it won't have any effect on your day-to-day activity. So Diane's next question is, what should people know about Medicare as it relates to staying in the hospital? And her answer is, well, I think you're probably alluding to the observation status situation. And that means that you're in the hospital, but not officially admitted. Sometimes observation status lasts 2 weeks. So Diane's answer is, if you're a patient and you're admitted, you pay your Part A deductible and everything is covered. If you're not officially admitted, but a hospital bed, but you're in a hospital bed with observation status, it's on Part B of Medicare, not Part A. So you pay a copayment for doctor's visits. The medications. If you're an inpatient, your medications are covered under Part A with one deductible, and then everything's free for 60 days. If you're on observation status, then it's based on your drug plan. The hospital pharmacy is probably not in your drug plan's network, so these drugs are out of network and you have to pay up front. And then you have to submit paperwork to get reimbursed. And finally, the last question is, what should people know about Medicare as it relates to the end-of-life medical care, hospice, and palliative care? Does Medicare cover those? Diane's answer is, Medicare doesn't have an official program for palliative care, but many of the measures that are palliative fall under Medicare coverage. Hospice is different. It's a packaged bunch of services. When you're on hospice care, it's all covered by Part A with minimal coinsurance, if you meet the qualifications. Having put my husband, my mother, and my father through hospice, her husband, I know how it works. It's generally a very good program, and it gives some relief to the caregiver. It provides counseling after death. The doctor has to certify that if there is an expectation of a maximum of 6 months of life, that's how you qualify for hospice care. Randy, once again, I just burned up all our time. I'm very sorry.
All right. I was interested in what you were presenting in terms of information, so there's no reason to hold off, other than we ran out of our 75 cents.
Again, I'm going to have to speak to my new assistant who curates the content for us, because she got pretty wild with the content curation.
That's all right. It's all good stuff. So I think we need to land the plane, though, because we are out of our 75 cents.
Yeah, let's do that. I can't afford to add another quarter into the box every time I get all wrapped up in one of these long articles.
Thank you all for joining us today. We certainly appreciate it. We know you could have been several other places doing several other things, but you weren't. You were here listening to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, spending a little bit of your time with us today, and we certainly appreciate it. A couple things I always like to mention. Doug is a licensed agent to help you with your Medicare supplement planning nationwide. He loves to hear from, you know, today trying to get him, I was trying to get him into the studio, and, you know, his content curator who just started with us, I asked her, where was Doug? And she said he was down at the mailbox waiting for something to happen.
That's my favorite thing, when a letter comes in.
It is.
A card or a letter pours in.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, when you were a kid getting that secret encoder ring down at the mailbox. The other place you can check us out is MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. Lots of information there. And we like to think it's a great resource, a great place to ask for additional information about Medicare supplement plans in particular. But there's one other thing I always like to ask. If you can find a place to give us a rating, we'd certainly appreciate it. It makes life a lot happier for us. We're always up against it on ratings, and it's just the business we're in. So if you could do that, we'd certainly appreciate it. In the meantime, I don't know if you've been watching your clock, but you just spent 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, originally from Oklahoma, now living in the high mountain altitudes behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And I hate to tell you, Doug, but I'm going to put you in at about 10,500 feet today.
Oh, that's cold. That is cold. Anyway, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.